Well, my word to you that gave your testimony here this morning is found in Romans 6. It says, "But God be thanked that ye, whereas ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Praise God. You have embarked on a road of holiness. And it's regardless of what man may tell you, what educated man may tell you, it's the high road. It's the way of life. Don't let anyone take that gift of life away from you. Well, welcome here this morning to the little band in Lowly. Praise God for Sunday mornings, for Sundays, for an opportunity to set aside our work and our cares of life and focus on our God, focus on each other, fellowship with one another. That's an encouragement to me. This morning I was very blessed already to be here, and I thought maybe we should go once a month up there to New York City. So, welcome this morning. God bless each one of you, and you pray for me that I would have unction to speak forth the mind and will of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and give us all ears to hear. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we do thank You for giving us eternal life. Thank You for that wonderful hope that beats within our breasts. Thank You for the transforming work that You have already done in our life. Because when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. But now, being made free from sin, we have our fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for so great a salvation. I thank You, Lord, for each one of these dear people that shared their testimony of salvation this morning. I pray that You would put within them such a heart to know their God, to be resolved that whatever it takes, whatever the cost, I will follow Jesus. For the prize is not here at the beginning, but it's at the end. Lord, we pray that You would be with them, and encourage their hearts, and cause faith to rise up in their hearts each day, and help them to set their eyes and their affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And Lord, I pray You would open up Your word to our hearts here this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have chosen to preach a message this morning on submission. The Bible speaks of submission very clearly, and we find Jesus as being our wonderful example in it. And I think I'll wait till the end of the message to share my inspiration along these lines as far as how I was directed this way, but just like to look at the subject of submission. I was encouraged as I looked at it and asked myself the question, if Jesus is our forerunner, then we should be able to find this matter of submission in His life. And so, to open here, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 44. Maybe now, the Bible doesn't use the word submission. It uses the word submit. I think submitted. I didn't even write them down here. But who can give me a definition for the word submit? What does it mean to submit? Dwight? Give up my will. Okay. Anything else? That's very good. Luke?
To yield one's will, ideas, or opinions.
Okay. To yield? Good. I have that. Ronnie?
To be obedient.
Yes. To be obedient. I found two definitions in the Strong's for it. And the one in Hebrews 13:17, where it talks about submitting to our elders, it means to yield or be weak. Thought that was good. To surrender or submit ourselves. And then in James 4, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 5, it talks about submission. And there it says to subordinate, to obey, be under obedience, put under, subdue unto, be or make subject, put in subjection, unto, or submit self unto. So I think you all covered that pretty well. So let's see how Jesus fared in this. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them, the disciples, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." And he prayed the same thing, according to the book of Matthew. "And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." So here, and both times, he prayed, "Father, this is not what I will, to do. This is not what is my desire to go through. But we find, even under such great pressure to give in to his flesh, he submitted his self. We can put all of these definitions of submission right here into what Jesus did. He yielded. He surrendered. He submitted his self. He put himself in subjection unto his Father's will. Jesus is our forerunner. I think it's very clear for all of us to see here in the beginning that Jesus walked this road of submission. We're not lifting up something here that's new. We're not lifting up something that Jesus didn't go before us and show us how it's done. So, we want to look at the matter of submission. I thought before we go into the different points of submission, to look at one of the Old Testament characters of submission. Now, we mentioned here that submission means obedience to. And we can find a wonderful example of submission and obedience to in the life of Noah. And the reason I chose to use Noah, there's many examples as I looked at it, and many for us to aspire to, but I couldn't think of any that was more radical than Noah. Noah subjected himself to God's will in his life at the ridicule of, it seems, all of society except his boys. He had his boys' heart, his wife's heart, but outside of that, all of society was against him and mocked him. And it was beyond all human reasoning what he was embarking to do, the thing that he set himself to do. It didn't make sense to the human mind, especially in light of the fact that it had never rained before. And he wasn't building his boat, he wasn't building his ark by the water's edge even. But this was, he had learned to know God. He had learned to obey God. He had walked with God for, I assume, for close to 500 years. And he understood what it was to submit to God. And you have to understand, too, that this was even before the law was given. Even before there was God admonished his people to obey, to submit themselves. You know, Noah didn't have much discipleship, it seems. It would appear on submitting other than, you know, from his father and his grandfather. And, you know, it seems like he had a godly heritage that did show him by example the importance and the value of submitting their heart and their will, their desires to God. So Noah, we have as a wonderful example and as a challenge to all of us in this matter of submission. And I think that if we would just take Jesus' example and take Noah's example, every one of us would find ourselves without excuse when it comes to the area of submission. And I think we would find our lives greatly challenged by their examples. That here, you know, we heard the testimony of these brothers and sisters from New York City yesterday, and I was thinking the same thing as David. When you're there in a group, it gives you strength and courage to stand up and to willingly and gladly submit yourself under the almighty hand of God and gladly be counted for righteousness' sake and in the midst of the wickedness. It's one thing to do that in a group and you have each other's support, but to be all alone, it takes a greater grace, it seems, to stand up and to be counted and be submitted to our Lord Jesus. Well, so, our message on submission. Who submits? And when to submit? And why to submit? How to submit? God help us. We have in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, that we're to submit one to another. In Ephesians 5:22, wives are to submit to their husbands. In Ephesians 6:1, children are to submit to their parents. In Ephesians 6:5, servants are to submit to their masters. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, the younger are to submit to the elder and to one another. In Hebrews 13:17, we're to submit to those that rule, that have the rule over us. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, all of us are to submit to God. So, none of us are left out. Amen. You children that think that it's no fair that you have to submit to Dad and Dad doesn't submit to anyone, that's not a right thinking. Because it's a law that's in effect that is just as sure as the law of gravity. And none of us escape it. I would like to give you one thing here on the matter of submitting. Of submission. Submission is obedience, but it's different than just obedience. I'm trying to think of which scripture it is here. I don't think I have it written down as such, but one of these scriptures here. And it might be Hebrews 13:17. I'll just turn there. No, that's not the one. One of these. Maybe it's in Ephesians chapter 5. No. Okay, it must be James chapter 4. Sorry about that. I'm not sure. Now, but it talks about submitting and obeying in the same verse. And the verse that probably enlightens it about the most is that verse in Romans 6 that I already quoted. But God be thanked that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So, it's possible to obey without submitting is what I'm trying to say, is what I wanted to give here, that to obey is not necessarily submission, as I understand it here and as I've studied it, that there is a difference. Now, to submit is certainly to obey, but to obey is not necessarily to submit, and that to submit, you are, as we see in Jesus' example there, we are yielding ourselves up to the will of the one that we're submitting to. We are giving it up and retaining an opinion for ourselves. We're not keeping any grudge in our heart towards the one who has willed it to do so. You can obey and still have a bad attitude towards the one you're obeying. But to submit to means to obey willingly. We actually yield ourselves, and we give up. In doing that, we're giving up our own will. Okay, this is what I desired. This is what I willed to do. But the one I'm submitting to is willing it differently. So I'm giving this desire up. And now it's going to be the desire of the one willing what I should do.
The Hebrews verse does say that.
It does. In Hebrews, okay. Let's read that. Hebrews 13:17. Let's read that. Obey, yes, okay. Obey them that have the rule over you. There it is. And submit yourselves. See, he's not if obedience was submission, was a clear blanket submission, then he wouldn't need to say, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. But I don't need to read the rest of it. It just says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. So, as you can see, we're not just dealing with obedience this morning, we're dealing with submission. Did you have something, brother? Yes, okay. That's a good verse too on that. Where CJ is mentioning, what's that scripture, CJ? Colossians 3:22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, which would be obedience as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, meaning that you are submitting, you're giving up your will to the one that you're in subjection to. So, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. So, there already, nobody is outside of the realm of needing to submit. No one is escaping this matter of submission. And just to see the example of Jesus should set that record straight right away in our hearts that, well, yeah, if Jesus the Son of God needed to submit His will, who are we to think that we can get away with not submitting our will? So, we have submitting to one another. And I think that this can even be taken beyond the realms of church life. I don't have that scripture down here, but in the in Romans chapter 13, it talks about being obeying those who are in authority over us. And so there's even in all of life, in all of relationships, there is this submitting to one another, I believe. I don't think that in the law of God, in the nature of God, there's room for any of us to ever just go our own way and to do our own thing. Like we're just some island on the sea and it's just me, myself, and I. And the world spins under my feet, so to speak. So, this verse sets it very straight that we need to live our lives as one that is given up, surrendered. Okay, in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. In the same way that you submit your will to the Lord, you're to submit your will to your husband. And I think that goes much deeper than, again, than just obeying. As we talk, that we can obey. You sisters, I think, have all pretty much learned from the discipling that you've gotten over the years here that it's right for you to obey. But just because you're obeying your husband doesn't necessarily, again, mean that you have submitted to him. So the challenge here is to submit. And we'll get to some practical ways of working that out here. But let's look at each one of them. Here it says in Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I think there, even though the word submit isn't there, it's clearly there, especially in the word honor. If you are going to honor them, you're going to surrender your will to their will. And know assuredly that outside of the parameters of you, children, surrendering your will to your parents, you won't have God's blessing in your life. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart. So in a sense, that says the same thing as it said there in Colossians. It's more than just an obedience. Well, I'll do it that way because you asked me to, but I'm sure reserving the right to grumble about it every opportunity I have, or to let everyone else know my displeasure in doing it this way. Well, you didn't submit. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. There we have that again, the one another. And in Hebrews 13, we already read that, that we're to submit to those that have the rule over us. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I've heard a lot of people quote that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But without the submitting yourself to God, the devil isn't fleeing from you. And a lot of times, I think we've deceived ourselves in resisting the devil, and we will even claim that I have resisted the devil, I've rebuked the devil, but I'm just not having victory. I've been trying, but I have no victory. Well, have you submitted yourself to God? So, in all of this, what is something that stands out very clearly in this matter of submission? What principle, character shows up here very clearly in the matter of submission? What does it take to submit? What was it?
Humility.
Yes, I on purpose didn't bring that out here. In this verse here, it says, in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So, what's the fruit of being humble? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If you're going to be humble, if you're going to have that more grace that it talks about in verse 6, he says, submit yourself to God. Be submitted. Be given up. Be surrendered to God. And you'll have the more grace that you need to overcome that sin in your life. So, we see here that none of us can get away from this matter of submission. It falls in different lines to different ones of us, but it's for every one of us. And each and every one of us need to submit. Well, how does that get worked out in your and I's life? There has to be a way to make that practical and to put it in shoe leather in our life. If you go to a church, and because you understand this matter of submission very clearly, and they say, the elders stand up and say, at our church, no evangelism. We want you to live a godly life and let your life shine for Jesus wherever you are, but don't you open your mouth. You keep your mouth shut. We don't want you being some tinkling or jangling cymbal or whatever excuse that they may have for that. Do you just willingly submit to that? What do you think? I've already shown you how
clear the Bible is on the matter of submission. So, what do you think? CJ? Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes, and I would like to give you the example of Daniel here. When he was chosen by Nebuchadnezzar's man there to be one of the men to disciple in the ways of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them, in verse 5 of chapter 1 it says, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, Daniel showed his heart of submission here, I believe. Now, his heart was set. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself, but he went humbly to therefore it says he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So I think we can see clearly here by Daniel's example that he was humble. He didn't just boldly stand up and say, no way, I'm not doing it. I'd be defiling myself. God forbids me to defile myself with unclean meat. I'm not going to do it. But it seems to me he went with a humble heart and made an appeal to his authority there, and probably explained to him, this is the way that I've been taught ever since I'm in this world. And it would be a violation of my conscience to eat this unclean meat and to drink this wine. It would kill me to do this. Is there any way out? You know, could we please have a way out of this? And then when the eunuch said it would cost him his life if he left them do that, Daniel again made an appeal that, well, just try us for a certain amount of days, me and my three friends here. Just try us for this certain amount of days. Prove us. And I can see Daniel and his three friends in all humility and with submitted hearts going to God and pleading for grace, for mercy in this time of need that they were in. And we can see how God blessed that. So many times when we're asked to submit to something, even if it's something that it seems to be against our conscience, we just boldly stand up and we are real quick to say, I'm not doing it. I'm standing on the Word of God. And so let's look at a way that it would be right here to submit. Let's say you are coming to Ephrata Christian Fellowship and you are have a passion for evangelism. You're out there desiring to go to the guttermost to save them that are lost, and you're going to all the bars in town, and brother Rick comes to you and says, you know, brother, we appreciate your zeal for evangelism, and we want you to evangelize, but we don't think it's a good testimony for you to be going into all the bars around here. The people are talking, and it has some appearance of evil to it. And so, we'd like for you to find other avenues and other ways to evangelize. Wouldn't that be a right thing to respond to bow your heart to? Wouldn't that be a right way to say, well, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with going to the bar because my heart is clear and pure. I'm not in there drinking. I'm in there preaching the gospel and until they kick me out, and I just go to the next bar until they kick me out. I don't see anything wrong with it. But you will have God's smile and favor upon your life, I believe, according to my understanding of the Scriptures here, and obeying those that have the rule over us to submit to that kind of direction in your life. We've clearly been commanded to evangelize and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we can't compromise on that. But we do need to allow our elders to give some parameters to us and to give us some direction and make things practical in our lives. I was thinking of Brother Rick teaching on the head covering here a little while ago, and I don't think it would be a wrong thing to do if your church wouldn't allow you to wear a head covering when it's clearly laid out in Scripture that the sister should cover their head. But in that, there are some parameters. And if your elders say, well, our definition of the sister's head covering is, as Brother Rick gave some details, that we don't want to see the lacy stuff, the stuff that would just be making a fashion statement and that sort of thing. For you to say, well, you might think I'm wearing a fashion statement, but I'm not. This isn't a fashion statement to me. This is my head covering. I think you're missing the point. I think there, then, you have crossed over the line, and it's no longer submitting. It's right, I see, for a church to take a certain direction, to take a certain to make practical application to principle in the Word of God, where the principles have not been, where the principle is clearly in the Word of God, but there's not much practicality put to it. I think it's right. The principle of modesty is clearly in the Bible. But different people draw the lines at different places on modesty. But we need to have an attitude towards our elders here that says, well, if this is where you draw the line on modesty, then bless God, I'm going to submit to that. And even though
my convictions wouldn't be the same. I'm going to submit my will to that. I was just in with this being on my heart and thinking of practical things. I was thinking this morning when I sat down here, I think if I was the elder of this church, I would make a practical a definition to modesty that the men wear long sleeve shirts to church. And it just seemed like, yet I was very free in my heart that, hey, these brothers think that that's a short sleeve shirt's modest enough. That's fine. And if that's the way the elders of the church are fine with that, then fine. I'm submitted to that. But if I was the elder, I'd probably say, you know what, brothers, I think a right line to draw in the principle of living out modesty in our lives would, let's wear long sleeve shirts to church. And so we see that there are things clearly when it comes to the clear teaching of the Word of God, we can't compromise on it. And we must take a stand at times. At times it's very right and good that we stand up like Daniel did and purpose in our heart. We're not going to defile ourselves. We're not going to compromise. But at the same time, I've seen so much of that done. It was in February of 1989 that I surrendered my will to Christ. And I have watched a lot of Christians stumble in this area of submission. Just for the sake of, that's not my conviction. Or, I don't believe that. And it's not on matters of whether it's right or wrong according to Scripture, but it's just my conviction. And I've seen a lot of proud hearts go their own way because it wasn't their conviction. And I can also show you many of them living very unregenerate lives today. So let's be careful in this matter of submission that we take it seriously, that we not only in submitting to our elders, but a point on the one anothering. Let's have grace with one another and learn how to submit to one another and not have that bold attitude where we clearly are giving the message, on this I will not bend, I will not bow. When it's clearly a matter of interpretation, let's learn to grow from one another. And in closing, the thing that brought this thing up in my heart at the last brothers meeting, we had a minister's meeting beforehand, and I expressed my desires there some, and I seemed to be on a little bit different page than the ministers were, and in the brothers' meeting that was pretty clear, and so, you know, I thought about it a lot, and I came to the place where I decided
my will is totally yielded to the brotherhood and to my ministry. And if they will it to be different than what I would have desired, that's the end of the story. You're not going to hear me griping about it after the decision's been made. You're not going to hear me trying to draw a faction after myself. I am going to submit my will joyfully, gladly. I'm just making it public here and driving the stake in the ground that I'm going to submit myself, because I see clearly in the Word of God that that's where the more grace comes from. That's where the that's the whole. It's humility. And I want to be just like Jesus and humble myself and recognize that I don't see everything right and I don't have all the answers. So I want to submit myself to you brothers, to you ministers. I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, because He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And that's where I want to live. I want to live in that place of more grace and humility. And I also want to live in that place where the devil runs from me when I resist him. If I go my own way and not submit my... If I go my own way and resist the devil and find him hard on my heels still, it's not going to go well with me. And I've seen it. I've watched it in many people. I've watched many go down that path of destruction. And I think many had good intentions and had right desires. But I think it's a heart of pride many times that just says, well, this is the way I want to do it. This is the way I see it. And this is, bless God, this is the way it's going to be in my life. But brothers and sisters, it's usually pride. And we just need to die to that. We just need to bow our hearts and submit ourselves. So, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And may I say that submitting to God has to be lived out in this life. We can't say, oh, I'm submitted to God, but I don't care what my elder says to me. I don't care what my brothers think about me. I don't care what the law says. This is the way I'm going to do it. This is the way I believe. My heart is set. I'm fixed. Well, may I tell you, you're not submitted to God. If you can just go your own way and not submit to anyone or anything, then you're not submitted to God. Just like John says, if you say you love God and don't love your brother, you're a liar. The love of God doesn't abide in you. How can you love God whom you haven't seen if you can't love your brother who you have seen? And may I say, how do you think you're submitted to God when you can't submit to anyone here on earth? It's an oxymoron. It's not true.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I don't think that misses any of us, does it? Me or you. Amen. I find that there is one other element to that whole subject, and that's the element of faith. This word here, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, that would be while he was still living in the earth, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I believe, Brother Dean, that that's your testimony, too, in heaven. You know, with that kind of an attitude, heaven looks at that and says, that pleases me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't have that attitude without a faith, unless you trust that God is going to work this thing out somehow. You can't yield to him. If you've got to do it all yourself and you're running the whole show yourself, it won't work out. You can't do it. He that cometh to God must believe first that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and submit to him and yield to him. By faith then, Noah, being warned of God, he was moved with fear and prepared the ark. And this word, this little phrase caught my attention this last week. It says, he built the ark by, moved with fear, he prepared an ark by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness. When the man has faith and, like you say, yields in a difficult situation to God, by doing that, he actually condemns the rest of the world that is living their own will and defying God's will in their life. And a man that just yields and says, amen, God, this is not my life. You take it and do what you like with it. He condemns the world's pride and the world's will and becomes an heir of righteousness. Amen. Well, if we could have a few mics. Maybe somebody has something to share this morning. Maybe you'd like to share a confession in this area. I know that subject is close to all of our hearts. If you have something you'd like to just confess, just raise your hand and get a mic. If you have something you'd like to share, something to add to the message, do the same. CJ?
Yes, I praise the Lord for the message, and I can say that as I was listening to it, it came to my mind how much Jesus was emphasizing to live by faith and how much he was encouraging his disciples to have faith in God. And to live by faith, I believe it is impossible. It is impossible if we don't recognize God's hand in our life. And it is God who loves us, who has good plans for our life, and so he is allowing difficulties in our life to test us. So one of the areas is submission, because greatest sin of man is, I want to do what I want to do. And so God has to break us and learn us to obey willingly, joyfully, as unto the Lord. And so he allows people that are hard to submit, that are hard to obey, to be our boss or to be our parent, to teach us this very important lesson for life. And I learned in my own life that in order for us to master this, we will fail many times. We will many times disobey. But the way to grow is to acknowledge our sin and to confess our sin and to go back and to humble ourselves and say, I'm so sorry for the attitude I had. Please forgive me. And that is such a humbling experience for a proud man. And until we start doing those things, all the decisions we make in our heart will not make any difference in our practice. Until we decide, I'm going to start confessing my sin. I'm going to start confessing when I fail. And my desire is to be in that place the rest of my life. And I can say that I'm still challenged many times to submit to difficult circumstances in life. But the only way to grow is to acknowledge our sin and to acknowledge and to have faith in God that he will bring all things to pass for his glory. And then he'll be able to use us in his kingdom. Mm. So that's my desire to go on with the Lord in that way. Thank you, Brother Dean, for the message.
Anyone else? Brother Rick? Yeah, one other thing I thought of, Brother Dean, thank you for the message there on submission, was I guess I'd call it the unexpected results of submission. In our human mind, we think when, oh, if I submit, that's going to bind me, restrict me, narrow my way. It's going to fence me in because, oh, then I have to do something I don't want to do. But the evidence and the fruit and the testimony of Scripture is Jesus, who, again, as you said, was not only our forerunner, but submitted to a thing far greater than any of us have ever had to even consider submitting to. He had to bow his will to the point to go on the cross in shame and humility, though he was God. And yet, the Bible, even the testimony of the Bible is, even because he was willing to do that, what did God do? Then lift him up to have a name above all names and became the King of Kings. And, you know, it's like, that's the result of submission. It doesn't compute in our human minds. And Abraham, as a man, somehow had to submit and believe the promises of God and then try to live them out against all hope that my body's 100 years old and my wife is barren and dead and what do I do with all that? But he bowed his heart and believed that. And what did it do for him? He became the father of many nations. You know, and our idea of the result of submission is all wrong. You see people, you know, sort of groaning, you know, as it were, under submission, you know. And yet the result is way beyond what we could try to even hope for and understand. So it's, you know, God blesses us in so many unusual ways that we wouldn't dream of. But the result of submission is a real blessing.
Brother Ed?
It's good to be back among you, brethren. I missed you all, and I want to be I'm really now thankful when you see where you came from out of the darkness, which I have been among when I went out and visited my parents, and you see all this, oh, religion, and oh, hallelujah, there's a freedom. And as Rick shared, you know, people think they get boxed in when they submit, but you know what? There's a free in spirit if you obey. It actually frees you. It does exactly opposite what a man thinks. And I'm really thankful to be here, and I want to thank God for His mercy as we travel that many miles and how faithful He is to us. Oh, may we be ever indebted to Him. God is good.
I want to say that I appreciate the message, and I'm thankful for the areas that I've been blessed in submitting. I do want to, maybe by way of confession, say that one of the traps that I fall into in my life is that I'll avoid the confrontation or the relationship that requires submission. And thereby, you know, I won't directly not submit, but I find myself avoiding the relationship or the whatever, the confrontation or whatever you want to call it, and thereby miss the blessing of submission. So I want to say that I want to turn away from that and not let it rule my life.
Mm-hmm. Brother Ronnie?
Yes, 4 years ago I kind of made submitted myself to move out of a colony and move out here. And I submitted myself in the Word of God to give up father, mother, all I had there, religious, and move here. And so my son was sharing his testimony up here. He shared a little bit at home, and he said every testimony that he shared was, if I wouldn't have moved from where I was, they would have moved to Sioux Falls or into the world and got involved into everything. And then if we submit ourselves to move to a church or to wherever, and now I have my whole family with us, plus what I gave up back there, my family, I got all you, and you have been a blessing to help me to overcome what I gave up, and you have given me so much more than I ever had back there. If I look back there now, as I don't know, Sherry, to see the darkness that they have and what they have and what I have today, it is so much more how God has blessed me with bringing my family back together and being part of a fellowship like this. And I want to go on. I don't want to just stay where I am.
Amen.
And go on with the Lord and be a blessing to this fellowship for all that what you have done for me and for us. And I thank you so much for it. God bless you all.
Brother Luke.
Yes, I want to thank the Lord, and Brother Dean, thank you for the message. It is something that has a subject that's close to my heart over the years. Just a couple of thoughts I would have to add. One is that in pertaining to submission and authority in a brotherhood and church life, submission doesn't really come into effect in our lives until it's an issue that we don't agree with. Sometimes I wonder if we think we're submitting, if it's something, an issue that I agree with, and I go home, say, from a brother's meeting, and I feel, say, I'm submitting to it, I agreed with it, amen. That's really not submission. It's only submission when I don't agree with it, but I voluntarily choose it to accept it, and just lay down my opinion, my ideas, and say, the brother's wills, I'll just accept that, and it's really not an issue of sin or right or wrong. It's just a matter of personal opinion. Now, also on the matter, Dean spoke on personal convictions. It's been my experience, and I would testify, that personal convictions are formed as we submit. A scripture to go with that would be Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Often we look at faith coming by the word of God, and it does, but there's also the matter of hearing in there. And I think hearing ties in very closely with submission, because Jesus said, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I think that hearing that Jesus refers to involves more than hearing with our ears, but it's also taking it in our mind and putting it in our hearts and living it out. And that's also what submission is, taking something that's new and applying it to our lives. So I thought I would add those thoughts.
Anyone else have a testimony? I don't know if some of you brothers might have experienced this too, but oftentimes the thing that God asks us to submit to is not really the issue, if you've experienced that. Just like it was not the issue with Abraham that he kill his son. God took that issue in his life because he knew it was close to his heart and said, give me that. And the issue with God was not, I want to take away from you what you hold dear. But what he wants to know is, are you submitted to me? Do you really believe me that I can make all things good for you? And once the test was over, God had all kinds of blessings for Abraham, more than he could imagine. But oftentimes the testing, God is not watching. He's not near as concerned about how this whole thing is going to work out. He's wondering how it's going to work out in your heart, and whether it's going to be, whether faith is going to rule. Is there someone on this side here?
Good morning. I believe, submission is an act of faith, like Brother Cooper said. But when it comes to a person as myself, I look at it, what do I have to lose? But by faith, when you do it, it's like you don't have nothing to lose but to yield to Christ. And as you said, and then the blessings come. And I, as I was hearing Brother Dean, many of my submissions has not been submission. And I've always pondered, God, is this submission thing real or what? But it is. I see that it is my own act and my own faith that fails me.
Amen. Anyone else? I think one other thing that we should say here is concerning the young people. Just a reminder to you all that the most powerful thing you probably have in your possession is this very matter. When the will is yielded to your authorities in your life, that is a powerful influence upon your authorities. I don't know, you fathers, I mean, I think you could affirm that. When you say no to a young person and you see them just say, amen, well, your will is my will, there is a powerful influence to want to bless their lives. I have seen that many times, many, many times in young people's lives when they give up their own way and yield their lives to their authorities. Thomas.
I just wanted to say, too, that in a way we all actually have, we all obey, we all submit one way or the other. And it's kind of a lie that we so easily believe that I guess comes back to the tree. The idea that not submitting to an authority that comes in and says something is an act of not submitting. Actually, you just choose who you're going to submit to. You choose to agree with the flesh, agree with the devil, submit to your own desires or lusts, and then become enslaved to that master, which doesn't ever desire to bless you. Or do you choose to submit to this other authority? It seems to me we have that choice always to submit to being a bond slave to the Lord or to our flesh. And the benefits, too. I appreciated what was said in the testimonies about New York. You can see what the benefit of submitting to the flesh and submitting to the world is. When you think you're going to go your own way, it is a form of obedience to a thing that does not desire your best. And the people that went, I guess, got to see what the fruit of that is, how very little blessing there is and little joy or happiness or anything good comes from submitting to that taskmaster. One other thing that I thought of, too, I appreciated that Dean brought out in resisting the devil. It does say submit to God first. And I guess in Acts, those men that went around in Acts 19, I think it is, they resisted the devil, but they weren't submitted to God. They were Jews. And these demons just said, well, we know Paul and Jesus, but we don't know you. And they were subjected to great shame by those demons because they were not submitted to God. And I've seen that in the charismatic movement, people who were proud and full of themselves that rebuke Satan left and right. And it doesn't work. The devil will have you. If he already has you, he will show you who's really the boss.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.